This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
$5 from each purchase and renewal going towards education. The least popular plates are Chicago Bulls and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Illinois Secretary of State's office is going after Illinoisans who are driving around without car insurance. Since July 1st, nearly 7,000 letters were sent out to motorists who either did not have insurance or the office was unable to verify it. Motorists are given some time to get fully insured, but if that doesn't happen, their license plate is suspended and replaced with a $100 fine. Nearly 2,700 licenses have been suspended over the last 2 months. The Illinois State Board of Education has announced that schools can continue to serve meals at no charge to all students throughout the 2021-2022 school year. Due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has extended the availability of the seamless summer option, which is traditionally only available during the summer. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Fighting mandates. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Republicans who tried to stop mask mandates in schools plan to take on President Biden's vaccine mandates. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
When Biden is violating the Constitution, we are going to be on the front line with a full spectrum response.
The Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, believes the mandates are legal, telling ABC's This Week.
If we want our economy to be back, if we want our schools to stay in session, we've got to take steps to make sure workplaces and learning environments are safe.
New York City starts enforcement today of its mandate for anyone who wants to dine out or go to gyms or theaters or other indoor activities to show proof of vaccination. England is reversing course on that. Fox's Simon Owens live in London.
Dave, England's government had said it would introduce COVID passports this month, requiring people to show they'd been vaccinated or tested negative if they wanted to visit crowded venues like nightclubs. But the health minister here says that plan has been scrapped, at least for now. Sajid Javid said he never liked the idea. Other European governments have embraced COVID passports, but critics say they infringe people's rights. Dave?
Simon, Secretary of State Antony Blinken will be questioned today and tomorrow in Congress on Afghanistan, from the U.S. troop withdrawal that led to the Taliban takeover to the chaotic evacuations. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger tells CBS Face the Nation.
I think there's a lot of people that bear blame, and the Secretary of State is one of these. And I think it would be nice, and keep in mind, even under the prior president, I would say this exact thing, for some people to just take responsibility.
President Biden goes to California today to try to help the Democratic governor keep his job. Republicans are trying to fire Gavin Newsom in a recall election tomorrow, but Newsom calls it...
It's an extension of what's going on in states all across this country that want to suppress your right to vote.
Republicans trying to oust him say that he's done a bad job in California, especially dealing with the pandemic. America's listening to Fox News.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Warner Brothers Pictures presents Cry Macho from legendary director Clint Eastwood comes a story of being lost and found. Eastwood returns as Mike Milo, a one-time rodeo star who takes a job from an ex-boss to bring back the man's son from Mexico. The unlikely pair face a challenging journey, and the only road home is through redemption. See it in theaters and on HBO Max for 31 days this Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for kids under 13.
Back to COVID and mandates. With the number of new U.S. cases topping a million a fourth straight week and deaths rising last week to more than 11,000, a cruise company is getting stricter.
Carnival Cruise Lines now says starting today, all passengers on their ships who are fully vaccinated must also present a negative COVID-19 test taken within 2 days of planned departure. They say this is due to the increased number of cases of Delta variant COVID in the United States. They also plan to set up rapid testing on site at cruise ports to help passengers have the most recent testing possible. And they will also be expanding mask requirements while on board ship to include even more spaces where people congregate. In Broward County, Florida, Evan Brown, Fox News.
Tomorrow we'll get an update on inflation, how much consumer prices rose last month. We already know on the wholesale level they were up 8.3% in August compared to a year ago, and be prepared to pay more at the grocery store.
Cincinnati-based Kroger Grocery Store says prices will rise by 2 to 3% going forward. Company CFO Gary Millerchip telling an earnings call Friday that the company is, quote, passing along higher costs to consumers where it makes sense to do so. Kroger rival Albertsons warned earlier this summer it would have to do the same.
That's Fox's Jessica Stone. On Wall Street, stocks could rebound. Dow futures are up 200 points after five straight losing trading days for the Dow. NFL Sundays are back.
Snapper, you can't go to air. Flag is down. That's Cooper Kupp.
Ended up one of three Matthew Stafford TD passes with his new team, the Rams, leading L.A. past Chicago 34-14 last night on NBC. Also on week one, New Orleans. The Saints crushed Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers 38-3. Kansas City edged Cleveland. Miami beat New England by 1 point. And Cincinnati beat Minnesota in overtime. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Dear dealer. Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 90, and tonight partly cloudy with a low around 71. For Tuesday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., increasing clouds and a high near 88. And Wednesday, 30% chance of showers before 1 p.m., partly sunny and a high near 80. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 70 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06, and this look at your weather is brought to you by Palmer Tire, now offering Michelin and Goodyear tires.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday, September 13th edition of Byers & Company. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf will be in the studios with us. We'll also check in with Tim Kaine, who's sitting in for Mark Tupper this week. The company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Monday, I was just looking through the photo galleries of the 9/11 memorial in New York City and elsewhere on Saturday. You think Springsteen ever goes like, man, come on, guys. I've done every, I mean, you know, someone else?
He's just a part of it, right?
I know. I mean, it was haunting. He wore a really sharp black suit and acoustic guitar and just did, you know, I mean, that's got to be, you know, the performance side of something so somber like that. I don't care if you're singing at a funeral or whatever. I mean, that has to just be unbelievably hard. What note do you hit? I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, and no band with you at all.
Well, I mean, it's just you. You're up there and all the cameras are on you, and you're supposed to convey, you know, musically, artistically, you know, the feeling of the day, the emotions of the day. I just think that's probably got to be tough.
Well, either that or you're the kind of performer that thrives on it and you can bring it, you know, and fall apart later.
I'm looking through all of the photos, and it's just absolutely amazing. I'm glad that they did, by the way, you know, they had people at the Pentagon. They had people in Shanksville or near Shanksville in Pennsylvania. They had people in New York, because we're so New York-centric on this because that's where all the cameras were. I mean, that's where
we watched the film,
because of just the population, right? The Pentagon was a very secure place. People didn't have camera phones, you know.
You had people running out.
Yeah.
As opposed to the buildings falling.
Exactly.
And the people in the streets and the reporters that were
there. And then the panic that was in Washington, D.C., you know, because there's this eerie thing. As I was watching this 9/11 inside the president's war room on an Apple last night, the first time I can recall all of the major players in the Bush administration, like, looking into the camera 20 years later and recalling all the days of the event, including many members of his Secret Service team, you know, because they never talk, you know.
Right.
And that pilot that was here of Air Force One, Colonel Tillman, who made an appearance here in Decatur. And, you know, the confusion and the just all of the behind-the-scenes stuff was fascinating. But it's very New York-centric just because based on the population, that's where the images were.
You know, I had the opportunity several years ago when I was at the Chamber of Commerce. You know, Ray LaHood would have fly-ins for
yeah.
us. And the year after 9/11 was amazing because we heard firsthand from people in D.C. about what was happening, you know, what their day was like. And it was just... It was an absolutely fascinating recital of what people were seeing and what they were thinking and how they continued to run the country.
Yeah, and how, you know, we like to, you know, I've had this conversation before. Everybody's got their conspiracies. Everyone's got their thoughts. I mean, from back at 9/11 all the way through COVID. I'm just telling you, my experience is government's just not smart enough to do all these things that you think they can do. Because they just don't know. I mean, they literally, the only thing they could get on Air Force One, the only images they could get was when they barely passed above a big enough town with a big enough TV station that the tower would literally let the TV give you a couple of fuzzy images at 40,000 feet.
Yeah, we take for granted the technology and the availability that we have right now.
We put it on the 20-year-old memories.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it wasn't there. I mean, Brian, pulling off a live shot for local TV was a big deal. You know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it was just, you had all these barriers. If there were buildings in the way, you know, we had to have Jim Edgar go sit when I was at WAND election night Eve, had to have him meet us in a Kmart parking lot so we could get a signal back to have him on the air. I mean, things have changed in a very short amount of time. And now you can go live from your phone.
Yeah. And then we also look at it with the hindsight of knowing how the whole day unfolded and what happened next. And the interesting thing about the documentary from the Secret Service point of view is they didn't know how many, you know, planes there were. They didn't know if the planes were just the beginning. They were worried about car bombs. They were worried about surface-to-air missiles. They were worried about a whole lot of things because no one knew. The intelligence briefing that morning wasn't about, you know. So it was unfolding as a real-time, maybe, you know, what is, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. I mean, that's what the Secret Service was thinking.
And nobody had ever flown a plane into a building.
Not like that.
Not like that. And, you know, for that kind of attack, it's like, it's not the typical thing you prepare for.
And when you watch the radar screen of the flight control tower in D.C., when that plane comes in, they think it's going right for either the White House or the Senate, and then it turns and then goes right into the Pentagon. You know, those guys stayed so calm. I mean, the voices are just uncanny to me, how they were able to keep their cool. But then you think about what that must have looked like on the ground. You know, you've got literally, you know how close Reagan Airport is to the nation's capital and how different it is today versus 20 years ago when you would fly in. You to see aircraft overhead at that, you know, height, you know, crashing right into the Pentagon, God knows what's next.
Well, no kidding. And one of the guys that spoke to us when we were, I think he was a reporter. I don't remember his name or network, but he was out, you know, basically in front of the Capitol, and they're clearing everything. They're getting everybody out from everywhere, and there are no planes flying. And then he's talking to a security officer. This unmarked plane is going overhead.
Yeah.
Well, it was like the plane to get government out,
yeah.
You know, where you could run government from the plane. And, you know, it's like, nobody'd ever seen it before.
No, that's exactly right. And they thought for a long time, Nick and I were talking about this earlier about action, they thought that we, meaning the United States government, had shot down that Flight 93 over Pennsylvania because they had given the order that if aircraft was unresponsive or would not respond, that they had to go ahead to take those planes down. Even the vice president on the ground thought that the military had taken down Flight 93.
And that was a suicide mission by our fighter pilots, knowing that they were going to have to go in. They didn't have time to load the missiles.
Yeah.
They were going to have to go in and basically crash the plane.
The ones right around Washington, D.C., they got them up in the air so fast. There are all kinds of crazy stuff. It's worth watching 9/11 inside the president's war room. There was an event Saturday, an event on Sunday, plenty of local people. I remember, you know, on the 10th anniversary, we did our show at Fire Station Number 1 and did all of the... You know, I know that with time comes distance, and with distance comes sort of a lack of memory. I kind of felt like we didn't really pull together and do anything on a large scale locally. And I know with COVID and everything else, it's just a different time.
It is hard. I was able to go to the ceremony Saturday evening down at the lake, and it was lovely. It really was. You know, you had your honor guards come out, and then your firefighters, you know, in full dress. And
there's photos, by the way, on Nauticator.com if you want to check it out.
And it was lovely. It was well attended. It wasn't overwhelming. Yeah. But, you know, in COVID times, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, just
you know,
a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a vigil in Central Park that evening, and we did the fundraiser the next day. You know, a lot of that stuff is fuzzy to me. You know, when you're on the air for 12 hours, it's sort of like you don't get to see outside of the studios, and you just got to kind of do what you do, right? But I don't know. For whatever reason, I've consumed a lot of it this year, way more so than I did last year or the year before.
Yeah, and I watched the documentary that the National Geographic did, and it was so incredibly powerful. And then I was reading the transcript from, I'm not thinking of the guy's name, from Let's Roll, from the flight.
Oh, yeah, Todd Beamer.
And Todd Beamer. But the conversation he had, the transcript of the conversation he had with woman who then contacted the FBI, that's where a lot of the information about box cutters and what was really happening came from, that phone call.
Yeah, and Betty Hong, you know, I'd never heard those calls until this year in that Nat Geo special. The flight attendant on one of the planes headed towards the World Trade Center, you know, had called into United's, you know, information desk, basically. And you know, I read a story this weekend about her family. I read a incredible piece in The Atlantic about the guy who ran the restaurant there at the World Trade Center. And he literally, and there were tons of these stories, depending on what you did that day, there were little accidents or things just that happen in life that save people's lives that retrospect, you know, you look back and you go, you know, he had a meeting with his assistant there at the windows to the world. You know, if you've been up in that place, it's a gigantic restaurant. And they lost 81, 83 people, and some of those jumping with tablecloths and stuff that they thought would be, like, they could parachute.
Anything you can.
But his son missed the school bus or the ride to pick up, and so he had to take him to school, which cost him 20 minutes, which kept him from being in there. And he lived and still lives with the guilt of being responsible for those people because they worked for him. And he talked about the 40-plus, you know, funerals that he went to in 7 days. And he ended up raising, I don't know, like $20 million for those people's families. And to this day carries that guilt, you know, through a lifetime of not being there.
Yeah. It changed America, changed the world.
Well, there's some good stuff. It's hard. It's none of it's easy to watch. That National Geographic thing, I had to like dole out one a night. I couldn't do it back to back. It's just hard.
I binged it.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, really good. It's called One Day in America, 9/11. And then the one I watched last night on Apple is 9/11 Inside the President's War Room. It's the first time I can recall all of the people that were there and in charge. And behind-the-scenes Secret Service that are on film 20 years later talking about that day.
You know, it's amazing how much more we can live history now than, like, when I was growing up and what you learned in school and what you were able to consume. It's nothing like this.
All right. Once again, also photos up from the Bobby Lyle and Dave Stryker Billy Rogers tribute band that was at the Devon on Saturday night as a fundraiser for Crossing. Man, I just doubt, musically speaking, that there will be any better musicians that grace that stage ever at the Devon Amp. It's amazing.
You know, it is an amazing venue and the talent. And, you know, Brian, this town has a lot of talent. I mean, it really does.
Well, Decatur's got talent. It's coming. And you can find out
opening,
more. Well, it does. We're giving away $5,000 partnering up with GT Church and a whole bunch of really great sponsors. And that's coming up on October 16th, I believe, is the finals. We'll get it down to the 20 finalists. Those videos will all be on Nauticator.com, and you can vote. The public can vote on those, and then we'll have a really nice event. Any age group, kids, adults, doesn't have to be singing, doesn't have to be music, be any talent that you want. $5,000 is pretty decent first prize.
Pretty good prize. I have no talent, just if you were wondering if I was going to come out and sing or dance or something.
You were a weather lady. You got all kinds of, you can look at that map, and you put the old-fashioned magnets on there.
Yep.
Stick that big sun face up there, talk about how nice it is. All right, let's talk COVID. We talked to Drew early last week and Tanya. I know Teresa feels the same way. I saw a story in Alabama where a guy died of cardiac arrest after being turned away from 43 hospitals. 43.
And, you know, our ICUs in our hospitals are there for a reason. They are there for patients when they have, you know, a stroke, a heart attack.
And the metrics are accidents. Here's what your community size is, yeah, and here's what the average amount of those incidents are. And 99.9% of the time, that covers it.
My son was at a ball game in Chicago over the weekend, and a guy in their box was hit with a ball and had to go to the hospital. And they went to the first hospital, and it was going to be a 7 or 8 hour wait just in the ER for him to be seen. So they had to go someplace else. So it's everywhere, and we can't rely on our neighboring hospitals to pick up the slack either, because they are as busy as the Decatur hospitals are. And Brian, I don't know what it's going to take to move the country to get vaccinated. I mean, people are so dug in; it is heartbreaking.
The politics of this is unconscionable. And when I say that, I'm not saying R or D or red or blue. Just the fact that there are politicians who are using this because they know they can tap into something that people want to hear, which is in this defiance, not me, not my body, not my freedom. You know, we've got all this. I think about those Americans on Flight 93 who willfully committed suicide to save people on the ground, and you can't wear a mask. I mean, that is, you know, 20 years later, the legacy of this is that you can't just for a couple of hours wear a cloth mask on your face to protect other people.
Well, and that's really not who we are and who we've been as a nation. You know, we are largely a Christian nation, and Christians are largely about doing for others and to try and take care of their neighbors. And so, you know, by getting vaccinated, what you are doing is you are protecting children who can't get a vaccine yet, people with diseases that are compromised. You know, it's the Christian thing to do.
I was talking to Mike Wilcott at the Devon Amphitheater Saturday night. Many of you know Mike as Toby Tucker, who was on the air for years at 95 Cube. Nick, what would you guess Mike Wilcott's age to be? About yours?
Yeah, I think so.
How old are you?
41.
All right. One of his classmates died last week of COVID-19.
This is very real.
Yeah.
It's very, very real. And it's frustrating. Councilman Kuehl brought up, you know, can't we, you know, pay people, you know, get in the kind of like Dale Coley is doing, you know,
well, we
to
did
get
that,
the vaccine.
And some that chips off, you know, a few here, a few there. And it's all important. But it's not, it's until, and unfortunately, and I say this completely, I swear to God, I'm being as honest as I can be, because I would rather just people just do the right thing to take care of each other and be good citizens. Until you make it so inconvenient that they can't do what they want to do in life, that's the only way the masses are going to get vaccinated.
Well, and it's the frustration that healthcare officials feel, and, you know, and now with the mandates from the president, and the pushback is amazing, but you're right. Unless it is just, unless things are being taken away, like you can't go to the Devon, or you can't go to a ball game, or get on a cruise ship, or see your grandkids, if you don't have a vaccine, you know, it's down to, that's probably the only thing that's going to make a difference. But now it's going to be whether you can keep your job or not.
Yep. And talk to the Texas mom who wouldn't get vaccinated, and her 4-year-old daughter died this last week of COVID-19. And how the regret that she has and the guilt. We talk about people, you know, in 9/11 carrying that stuff with them for 20 years about something that was completely out of their control and that there was absolutely nothing they could do about. This is not that.
My mom was talking about, you know, her 4-year-old hospitalized in St. John's, yeah, in the ICU. And she said, if I would have understood, if I would have known that not getting vaccinated would land my little girl in the hospital, you know, I would have taken it more seriously. I would have done what I could. But, you know, by that point, Brian, it's too late, and I don't know how many stories like that have to be out there. You know, it's real easy to say, that wouldn't happen to me. I'm young, I'm healthy.
But every single one that it happens to, that what they want to do is then share that message out with people about the regret they have in their decision-making process, and please don't do what I did.
And I appreciate that and wish we would have more of it, but we still have such a pushback, and it is... It's frightening because I don't know where we're going to be in 6 months.
What do you have? when you say pushback, give me some of the feedback you get just on a day-to-day basis as just mayor, as citizen, as hospital employee. You know, what's the day look like?
Oh, I get, you know, these robo emails from people. It's all the same. You know, I'm watching your vote. Say no to mandates. You work for me. And, you know, it's like, well, A, we aren't taking a vote on mandating anything. Mm-hmm. If you check our agenda, there's nothing out there. It hasn't been in the news. So, you know, you get a lot of that. I guess mine is more deep-rooted fear, because I know how many people aren't vaccinated. I know our young population is not vaccinated. I know that a lot of our cops and firefighters, and frankly, a lot of healthcare workers here are not vaccinated. I know people in our school district aren't. And logistically, we don't have the mechanisms in place as a community to handle everybody who might need a weekly test. It's just logistically, given enough time, we could probably get it together. But, you know, you can't get chips for cars, let alone if everybody's under a mandate for tests. I don't know that we can get that many tests that fast.
I don't know. Large school districts in particular have a completely different challenge than some of the smaller outlying school districts.
Right, because they've got so many buildings.
It's just a math number, so many kids. But yet I'm not quite sure that even they haven't just sort of said, had enough.
Well, and you know, then it kind of all gets dumped on Tanya. And, well, because Crossing is this miracle place that she can do magic, you know, and she has pulled off magic in the past few years more than anybody
else I can
imagine. But, you know, even then, logistically, she can't handle the entire population or half of the population of this county.
Yeah.
She can't do it physically. It doesn't. We don't have the staff. We don't have the materials. We don't have the time.
They do have the Shield testing up and running now. And unfortunately, our family had to go through this on Friday. By the way, Lindsay writes about it in the Refresh this morning. Give you some helpful advice. You think spit test that you just sort of spit into a tube. That's not the way it works. They ought to call it a drool test because it's different than that. Yet it is highly effective and very quick. And we learned yesterday afternoon or Friday afternoon, everything was fine. But, you know, our 17-year-old woke up with a – it's crazy because Nick and I had this conversation Friday morning after the show before I knew, like, about what happens if A, B, or C, just about doing the show. And he woke up with a sore throat and not feeling well. And we
– and that's scarier than it's ever been.
Well, yeah, but it's also, as parents, our job to not send him to school and go find out if everything's okay, which we did. And thanks to Tanya, we were there the opening day to get tested, and everything turned out okay test-wise, and that was great. But it just shows you how vulnerable. I mean, but now you take that times 9,000, and everybody's not going to do the right thing.
Right. And some, just from a logistics standpoint, they've got to get to work.
Yeah.
And you're not that sick.
Yeah.
Have some Tylenol.
So I just think we're not through this, and I think everybody's over it. And those two things are colliding like they never have, even though there's been obstinance from the get-go. It's like right now I just see, like, in the face of everything, if you're not listening to the CEOs of these hospitals, if you're not listening to the doctors and nurses, if you're not listening to the pharmacists, if you're not listening to the media, if you're not listening to the pleas of the people who said, good God, if I could go back and take the vaccine, I would, but I can't, and it's too late. Don't do that. I don't know what else is going to get through to you.
I don't either. And Brian, I've got people very close to me that are not vaccinated, will not get vaccinated. And I can't provide enough information or enough pressure or enough pleading to change that. I don't know what will.
I don't either. And unfortunately, maybe somebody very close to you or you yourself dying or getting very sick. And the very sick part of it is the thing that, you know, even the mild breakthroughs they talk about, people who are fully vaccinated that are getting these, you know, are not always mild. I mean, they can be really bad sickness. I mean, yeah, the odds are you're going to do better than, clearly, way better. Odds are you're not going to end up on a ventilator in the hospital or end up dead. But people are still getting sick out there, even people who are vaccinated.
Well, and, you know, in this area, we have a lot of people with respiratory issues anyway, from asthma. We have pretty high asthmatic rate in Macon County, and for whatever reason. But those people are more prone to get even sicker. And so, you know, I'm not a doctor. I didn't even sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But I can just do this and beg you to do your part. Get vaccinated. Wear a mask. socially distance yourself from others and do everything you can, because we can't. Our kids need to be in school. Our
Absolutely.
Businesses need to be running. And everybody who wants these businesses open needs to do their part to make sure we don't continue to spread this illness.
Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we appreciate you, and I thank you for being in today. And each and every Monday, we do a little recap. The numbers look about the same. I mean, I'm not seeing a big drop.
Well, it looked like we had a little bit of a drop over Labor Day, but those weren't real because you've got labs that are closed
yeah.
because it was a holiday weekend. So we only a week ago we had a couple of days where we had numbers in the 40s, but they're right back up.
Yeah.
You know, we can hope that it levels off pretty fast, but
72 on Friday, and we'll await the weekend numbers today. Mayor, thank you. And we'll be back after the break. We've got bottom of the hour stories and news. Tim Kaine sitting in for Mark Topper this week. We also have tickets to give away, not only to the Devon Amphitheater, but to the Cardinals. All of that coming up straight ahead. Back with more right after this.
This is Shiler with your stories now. Governor J.B. Pritzker is announcing a $50 million grant program to help revitalize downtown and Main Street areas. The idea is to kickstart projects in areas really struggling over the last year and a half, with grant awards ranging from $250,000 to $3 million, says Governor Pritzker. Projects can range from downtown plazas to structural repairs. The deadline to apply for these grants is January 10th. Visit the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunities website for more information. The Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County and the City of Decatur joins the Atkins Group to announce the construction of a warehouse and distribution facility on Decatur's northeast side. The 635,000-square-foot facility will be developed at 4250 North Commercial Crossing in the city's logistics corridor. Up to 75 employees will work at the facility, and the development will benefit from the Decatur-Macon County Enterprise Zone. Construction has recently started at the site and will wrap up in the summer of 2022. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowToCater.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Senate's back in session today after a month-long recess. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says again he will not vote for the big social safety net bill supported by most other Democrats, that the focus should be on the hard infrastructure bill already passed by the House.
That's the one that has the urgent and emergency that we have. Let's get that one done.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders says he agrees physical infrastructure spending is important.
But I happen to think that the needs of the human beings of our country, working families, the children, the elderly, the poor, are even more important. And we can and must do both.
They were both on ABC's This Week. President Biden is expected to talk about programs to fight climate change in the Democrats' spending bill after surveying wildfire damage today in Idaho and California. He then campaigns this evening for California Governor Gavin Newsom, with voters tomorrow deciding whether to remove him from office. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 90, and tonight partly cloudy with a low around 71. For Tuesday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., increasing clouds and a high near 88. And Wednesday, 30% chance of showers before 1 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 80. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 70 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:33.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Monday. Good morning and welcome. Tim Kaine sitting in for Mark Tupper this week. All right, the Bears played the Rams last night. I tuned in for a brief bit. Watched Andy Dalton march him down the field to throw an interception in the end zone. Said, "Yep, same Andy Dalton, same Bears," and I didn't watch anymore.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't worth staying up for much if you're a Bears fan. I think, but there are different ways to look at that game too, Brian. You can take comfort in it if you're a Bears fan, in that it was really a close game. If you take away a couple of plays, and I know that that's one of the things we talk about all the time in football. You know, you can't take away the big plays. You know, those are the important ones. Those are the reasons that the Rams won 34-14. But it was a couple of bad plays in the defensive backfield that really cost the Bears. And you know, it wasn't until the Rams scored late in the fourth quarter that I thought, well, this game is actually over. Because at 27-14, I thought the Bears still had a chance if they got the ball and a couple things happened. Now, Justin Fields, new draft pick, was really exciting to watch. He wasn't in nearly enough for most people, but that's a flash of what can possibly come. And keep in mind that the Rams are a top five team in the league, and they got a really good defense. Now, the other side of that is the Bears' defensive coverage was bad, 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 bad. There was a lot of that yesterday in the NFL. Now, you don't have to look any further than Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay to see what happened with bad in the NFL. The Bears know how bad they were. Only one player from that defense talked to the media after the game. Now, Matthew Stafford, who's a quarterback for the Rams, was a quarterback for the Lions up until now, played 20 games against the Bears as a Lion quarterback. He's a better quarterback than he was ever able to show when he was with Detroit. But the Bears allowed him a career day, and this was an interesting stat, I thought. No player with at least 20 pass attempts against the Bears had a better passer rating than Stafford's since at least 1950. The Bears opened the season with zero takeaways and one sack. They gave up more points than they've allowed in a season opener since 2003, and this is their seventh 0-1 start in eight seasons. As a Viking fan, I hope it's a portent for the future, but also keep in mind that the NFC North, every team lost yesterday. So they're still all on even ground. The Bears are still in first place.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll do a potpourri of sporting items for the weekend. It's brought to you by First National Bank, the quality bank, now Indicator.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Back here with Tim Kaine, sitting in for Mark Tupper. All right, what else happened over the weekend?
Well, the Illini went to Virginia and took it in the shorts, 42-14. They committed two turnovers, had an interception, a fumble, but lack of composure. Man, eight penalties for 90 yards, including three unsportsmanlike conduct penalties in the second half. Virginia's a top 30 team. Illinois, at best, is in the 80s of teams in college football. You know, so I don't think he necessarily thought that the Illini were going to win this game, but at least. The thing that benefits the Illini is that it was on the ACC network, and you really have to find the ACC network. So maybe people didn't watch this game, and maybe things could turn around for the Illini when they play Friday night, 8 o'clock game. Yeah, 8 o'clock on Friday night in Champaign. Ohio State, another Big Ten team, is the only team to lose as a home top five team to a non-conference opponent in the last 10 seasons. And they did it a second time. They lost to Oregon over the weekend. And maybe Iowa is the best team in the league. In the U.S. Open, Novak Djokovic was going for the inside a year Grand Slam. It wouldn't be a true Grand Slam, but it would be a Grand Slam within the year. But he got beat by Daniil Medvedev. And the Cardinals won. They're a game behind the Reds and the Padres for a wild card spot. There's five teams within three games for that one playoff spot. Cardinals start with the Mets tonight, three-game series in New York. The Mets are hot. In a three-game series at home this weekend against San Diego, these are the checkpoints. These are where you figure out what you've got and where you're going to go for the rest of the season. And finally, there are two baseball teams whose magic numbers are in single digits. One of them is the White Sox, 6. One of them, the other is the Brewers, 5. We could have 2 division champions already claimed by the end of this week.
All right, Tim, have a great day. We appreciate it. Thank you for filling in for Mark this week. Tim Kaine, checking in with Tupper on Sports. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 40 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
You know, if you're a business owner, you know time is money. That's why the business professionals at First Med Bank and Trust will come to you, personally or virtually. We respect your time and build relationships that go beyond the numbers. We'll get to know your business and goals so we can offer financing and cash management services that work for you. Whether you're a startup, growing, or wanting to streamline cash flow, call First Med. Our business professionals will be happy to help you make the most of your time and money. Learn more at firstmed.com. Member FDIC.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube, and I'm just like you. I don't like waiting around for something to get done either. At Speed Lube, we pride ourselves in offering you the best customer service experience in as little time needed, featuring quality Pennzoil motor oil. Speed Lube and Pennzoil are two names you can trust to keep your vehicle running at tip-top shape regardless of the weather. Stop in and visit us at any of our 6 convenient Decatur area locations or our shops in Lincoln and Clinton, and get your Pennzoil oil change today at Speed Lube.
Do you want a chance to positively impact the Decatur community and grow your career? If you've got the passion, Decatur Memorial Hospital is the place. Right now, Decatur Memorial Hospital, an affiliate of Memorial Health System, is hiring for a wide range of positions across multiple departments and clinic areas. Apply your passion today and visit jobs.choosememorial.org to see all available positions, benefits, and more. Come discover all the things Memorial has to offer. Memorial is an equal opportunity employer.
If you're not getting as much drill out of your drill, if your circular saw is making you dizzy, and if your Sawzall isn't sawing at all, it might be time for a new tool battery. Rex Battery has just the battery that will fit the manufacturer's specifications. We stock our batteries fresh so you get longer life and more power. You don't need to remember any part numbers or secret codes. In fact, you can bring your old battery in and we'll know exactly which one you need. We've spent decades dealing in batteries and know them better than just about anybody. Best of all, your battery is likely sitting right here waiting for you. No need to hope it gets delivered. No need to go to a chain and try to guess which one you need. If your projects are battery powered, Rex Battery can get it going. From the tiniest hearing aids to the biggest farm equipment, nobody knows batteries better than Rex. 1330 East El Dorado, Decatur. Rex.
You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I knew I was throwing you a curveball before we went to the break. I apologize. This is the Bond song.
It's 90 seconds into the song, too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have like a really long opening in the movie then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big action scene.
Yeah.
Then the interlude. It's a little overmodulated. You can turn it down just a little bit. That works.
We played it on here when it got released.
Yeah, I don't. That was like 2 years ago. It's the most ever streamed Bond theme with 70 million streams in the UK alone. But, of course, this is 2 years after the movie should have been out.
Sure.
It's gone platinum in the UK. And I never know. I mean, the last few, you had Adele, which is, I mean, it's hard to top that. It's hard to top Skyfall. It's the best out of all the movies.
Yeah, I like that one. I like Sam Smith's song. I like...
From Spectre.
Yep.
I just saw a TV ad for No Time to Die. Okay, you can go ahead and... It's not that good. I mean, it's good. It's just...
There is a on Apple, speaking of which I'm giving Apple a lot of love this morning, just happenstance. There is a retrospective called Being James Bond. It's a 45-minute. I would say it is. It sounds to me like a podcast, meaning that the people are never actually on screen, although there is plenty of on screen. And it's Daniel Craig and Michael Wilson and Barbara Broccoli, who are the producers and the people behind the whole 007 James Bond franchise. And they really walk through his whole five-film career as James Bond. With a lot of, I've never seen, don't know that it's ever been seen, behind-the-scene footage of making all of the movies.
I can't wait to see that.
It's called Being James Bond.
He's the best James Bond, too.
No doubt. But you just forget how crushed he was at the beginning by everybody. Before anything had been filmed, before anything had been, one single foot of film had been completed, there were, I mean, the internet and the fanboys and the press and the media, particularly in the UK, they were just brutal. And he talks very candidly about how he, as a person, doesn't normally consume that, but people were telling him, and he spent an entire night, didn't sleep, you know, going through all of the online stuff and how hurtful it was before he had done anything, before he had filmed anything.
That's too bad.
But that's what we do, right?
Yeah. That's way too bad. He's excellent as James. He's an excellent actor, period.
They all had to eat crow after the fact.
Yeah.
And the media will just flip, right? I mean, they'll just go, oh, blonde Bond, bland Bond. He's the best. Right?
He's so good.
So it's a really, you know, he has a reputation as being a bit cantankerous. I think it started off. You know, they do the stupid thing. He's got to ride in the military boat. I'm sure that wasn't his idea. Then the military says you're in the boat. You got to wear the life vest. So then they were teasing, you know, the people were merciless about him wearing a life vest, even though that was the requirement to be in the boat. And then at the afterwards press conference, he was pissy with the press because the whole thing was sort of contrived. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you feel like a pork chop. Like you're being sold as goods, right?
That's interesting that you say that, because I feel like his portrayal of Bond is the least showy of all the Bonds. He's just very raw. And
I'm talking about his reputation as an actor.
I know, but I'm saying I think he brought that to the role. I'm
maybe
seeing
a little
some parallels.
Maybe a little bit. But I think he is a perfectionist, and I think he is an artist, and I think when you get that kind of thing, you're going to have on-set debate. You're going to have arguments about this scene or that scene or what the character would do or wouldn't do. They talk very frankly about, you know, the movies and the writer's strike that led into Quantum of Solace and how that really sort of left the film being not what it could have been, but there was an actor's strike ahead and they went ahead and pulled the plug. He talked about that opening sequence in Spectre with the Day of the Dead in Mexico. He could barely walk. He had torn up his legs so bad in stunts that they had to change the entire scene. And when he is, like, they track that whole thing with the parade up into the hotel room, and then when he goes out, they show you how many stunts Daniel Craig did. Like, him up on that balcony, mm-hmm. you know, where he's going, he's wearing a wire, and you can see it in the behind-the-scenes footage, but that's him.
Right.
That's not CG. That's not, you know, I mean, that's him up on whatever story building that is on a leg that doesn't work. And he talked about every time I had to go down this, I just kept in my head, don't give out, don't give out, don't give out, talking to his own leg.
Wow.
Now you're talking about acting, because you don't get any of that. I went back and watched Spectre just to sort of see if I could see anything that he was describing. And they were worried, once again, about, you know, so they didn't want to delay 9 months, have surgery. I mean, you know, so he just roughed through it.
Did he get surgery after?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember all of that.
And then broke his foot again on, you know, because he found that, and he says, you know, it was stupid, but I just kept finding I could do more and more and more of the stunts, and it made me feel sort of the part and in the character. And in hindsight, maybe it was, you know, I mean, very honest about the whole thing.
Wow. I'm excited.
That guy earned his paycheck. Now, I mean, not only in just talent, and the movies are really good, and they're successful at the box office, but, I mean, physically, the toll that played, you know, and him just... After the end of Spectre, just feeling like when he said, I'd rather break this glass and cut my wrist and play James Bond again. And his body was just broken, and he was just wiped.
That brings a lot of context to that decision, I would say.
Yeah. It's fascinating. So it's kind of like a podcast with this great montage of behind-the-scenes stuff of all of the movies.
Oh, cool. He's a day one watch for me. Any new release where he's the lead?
Anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been so-so about his career, not him as an actor. I mean, I love Layer Cake, and I love the Bond movies.
Knives Out?
Yeah, not my style.
Logan Lucky?
Not my style. Not saying they're not good.
Yeah, he's Cowboys and Aliens?
I thought that was terrible. I really look forward to that because both of the actors and the director and the entire thing. It wasn't terrible. Right. It was just okay. Now, he's a James Bond day one for me, for sure.
No question.
And I just saw an actual commercial, trailer run, which made me very happy.
Yeah, my mom told me there's a new James Bond movie coming out.
Love it.
So thanks.
There was always an in-between between his movies, even before COVID.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it always seemed to take longer to get to the point of release. But it's if you like his portrayal and you like the founders, and they had to fight for him. They only wanted him. That was it. And they fought. And they had to fight the studios and fight everybody. I mean, don't you hate when you're right, you know, and all the powers that be are wrong?
I wouldn't hate that.
Huh?
I wouldn't hate that.
Well, you would hate it because it's like almost impossible to get it done.
Right.
The studios kept saying, who else? Who's your B choice? Who's your C choice? Like, there's no one else on the list.
Right.
And then think about the pressure that, I mean, so think about all of that leading into Casino Royale, which to me in order is Skyfall is the best, Casino Royale second, Spectre third, Quantum of Solace fourth.
Yeah, I like that order.
But I like all of them. Mm-hmm. And I think Quantum of Solace is better than it's given credit for.
And I watch
that opening scene.
Yep. I watch Casino Royale more than all of them because it's like the easy approach. You can throw it in. It's like the origin tale kind of to some degree. But Skyfall is definitely better.
Skyfall is almost a perfect movie.
Yeah, it's very good.
I mean, I would put it up there literally with The Godfather, Apocalypse Now. I mean, those kind of movies.
It's very good.
So anyway, it's called Being James Bond. It's a retrospective that just became available on Apple.
Yeah, Apple must not know me too well. They're like, here's some more Ted Lasso, and that's about it.
By the way, I read the real pub that's featured in Ted Lasso is a real pub.
Oh, I'm sure it's getting a lot of visits.
Oh, they're it's like literally making up for all of COVID just because of the Ted Lasso show.
Cool.
What was the name of it? It had a great name, too.
I don't remember.
Hang on. I'll tell you. I don't know if they used the real name in the show or not. I've got so much stuff stacked up.
The house that, you know, a lot of these things catch off, you know, take fire because of it. You know, out in Salem, there's all the stuff from the different movies. And New Mexico from Breaking Bad, the house where the pizza's up on top.
Oh, yeah.
They had to put a fence up because people drive over there and throw pizzas on the roof.
It's called the Prince's Head.
Oh, yeah.
In Southwest London. That's the name of the actual pub that's the featured pub in Ted Lasso.
It's pretty
cool.
Some
of the funniest character actors who really just have one line, two lines, right?
Yeah, and they're consistent, so you know what you're going to get when they're on the
screen. Oh, it's just fantastic. All right, here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. Back with more right after this.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 90, and tonight partly cloudy with a low around 71. For Tuesday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., increasing clouds with a high near 88. For Wednesday, 30% chance of showers before 1 p.m., partly sunny and a high near 80. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 70 degrees, and your WSOI time is 7:53.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal.
With its beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
We all have dreams. A fulfilling job, a great place to live, a sense of pride and accomplishment. But for many of us, these dreams simply can't be fully achieved without additional education or training. I'm Tony Holly of the Community Foundation of Macon County, and we're here to help you achieve your goals and reach your dreams. So we've expanded our scholarship program to include adult and non-traditional students. This program is specifically for Macon County residents aged 24 or older who have interrupted their schooling for at least 3 years after graduating from high school or after earning their GED, and help them in achieving a two-year, four-year, or a master's degree, as well as vocational training at Richland Community College and or Millikan University. To apply by the November 1st deadline, go to MaconCountyGives.org, or for questions, call us at the Community Foundation at 217-429-3000. Again, that's MaconCountyGives.org, 217-429-3000. We're here to help you jumpstart your path to your exciting next chapter.
During the midst of this healthcare crisis, you can continue to count on the trusted staff at Dale's South Lake and Coley's Drug Stores to continue to bring you fast, friendly, and reliable pharmacy services. We encourage customers to utilize our home delivery service, curbside delivery, or our drive-thru window. Don't forget to download our free Coley's Drugs app to submit refills for your medication anytime. Our friendly staff can help you pick out Fannie Mae candy, cards, puzzles, or other over-the-counter items. Call us today at 429-5165 for all your pharmacy needs. We're friends helping friends.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome back. Having really fast internet matters, but when there are four, five, even six things connected to my Wi-Fi at the same time, it's the Wi-Fi speed that I pay attention to. Enter Xfinity. They offer Wi-Fi speeds over a gig, the fastest Wi-Fi you can get. That's a big deal because maybe you're a gamer or a streamer or video chatter, or maybe you're like me and have a big home studio that sucks up some serious bandwidth. Whatever your case may be, you need Wi-Fi that can keep up with your lifestyle and all of the devices that come with it. You need Xfinity because Xfinity knows fast Wi-Fi makes everything better. Now through October 11th, ask how to get a special offer of $300 back when you get gig speed internet. Or get started with up to 50 Mbps download speed for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Click, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Gig Wi-Fi requires gig internet and compatible gateway. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Offer requires paperless billing and auto pay ends 10/11/21. New performance starter internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Are we coming up on an anniversary for the Diana Princess of Wales? Because it seems like along with 9/11, there's a lot of that out there right now.
I don't know on that one.
1997, so it's almost 25 years.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe that it's been that long.
Really?
Yeah.
24 years. Yeah. It was, so August of next year would be the 25th anniversary. Wow. Date of death was August 31st. I mean, that was, you know, when CNN was about it. I remember watching Larry King late into the night. Tom Cruise called in. It was weird.
Oh, I do remember that.
Wow. He evidently had been victim in that same tunnel of the paparazzi and all of that. Kind of a surreal thing. I remember Diana and Mother Teresa died around the same time. And the difference of the coverage and the funerals and the pomp and the circumstance and the glitz and the fame versus sort of this pauper lifestyle. There were a lot of things on display there.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that.
You remember Tom Cruise calling in, but you don't remember the funerals?
I mean, because maybe I had the TV on late that night, but I don't remember that, like, juxtaposition between those two in that way.
They happened, I want to say, we're going to take a break for news here. There's even, I Googled this picture of Diana with Mother Teresa, which is interesting. I don't know how far apart it was. She died after Diana because I know there was a statement made by her, or at least attributed to her, about Diana.
but they were both like globally televised funerals, which isn't all that common.
Right.
But really two very, very different lives. We got a lot to get to here in the next hour, plus giveaways. Stay with us. We'll be back.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Schuyler with your stories now. On Friday, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported 26,062 new confirmed and probable cases of coronavirus disease in Illinois, including 197 additional deaths since reporting last Friday. More than 79% of Illinois adults have received at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose, and more than 62% of Illinois adults are fully vaccinated. Sport team license plates have raised more than $13 million for Illinois public schools. More than 71,000 vehicles in Illinois are adorned with plates representing their favorite sports teams, with $25 from each purchase and renewal going towards education. The least popular plates are Chicago Bulls and the St. Louis Cardinals, although Illinois has more Cardinal license plates on the roads than Missouri. The Illinois State Board of Education has announced that schools can continue to serve meals at no...
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.